Oh boy. Good morning, everybody. Glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for as long as there have been Christians. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We do believe that the Lord is with us every time we meet. As we sing to Him, pray to Him, listen for the Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, as we gather around the table of our Lord Jesus, we believe that our risen Savior is present with us to give us His grace, to share with us His love, to speak to us. So could we bow our heads for a moment and pray as we begin? God, we are grateful to You for Your presence with us. When times are good, You make them sweeter. When times are bad, You give us courage and peace by Your presence with us. You sustain us and guide us, comfort us. And God, we are grateful. Today, as we worship You, as we sing and pray and listen, as we gather around Your table, God, would You meet us here? Would You help us to have hearts and minds open to You, to receive Your grace, to be reminded of Your love, to experience that love and that grace today? God, You know that we need it. And so we come to You humbly acknowledging our need. Thank You, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able and interested, let's stand and let's sing. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, thank You for Your amazing grace. The ways that You forgive us, the ways that You continue to love us, the ways that You never give up on us. God, there's not a single one of us here that don't depend on Your grace and Your forgiveness. And so, God, we are so grateful that when we come to You and we confess, when we're honest with You, Your word says that You are faithful, that You forgive us, that You cleanse us, that You wash away the shame, the guilt. You make us new. God, I depend on that, on Your mercy and Your grace. Each one of us here do. And so, God, we're so grateful that as we come together to worship You today, that we are not a collection of all the folks that have it all together, but that we are a collection of people who have found the One who has forgiveness, the One who gives us hope, the One who gives us life, the One who gives us what we need to sustain us, to help us to put one foot in front of the other. God, You are the One that helps us when we do fall down. You're the One that helps us to get back up. You brush us off. You forgive us. And You continue to call us forward into the life You created us for. Thank You, God, that in Jesus Christ You have conquered sin and death so that we don't have to be enslaved to it, but we can be set free. Thank You, God. Thank You for Your amazing love and Your amazing grace that You offer to each and every one of us today. It's because of that grace that we find ourselves here. It's because of Your love that we come to You. You have shown us that love in Jesus Christ. So it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. It's not often that we have a Sunday morning where one of us stands up and like confesses their sin to the whole group like that. But when Scott approached me and said he would like to explain kind of why he hasn't been up front and the change that's going on in his life, all that we had been saying is like, hey, these guys are going through some really tough times and could use your prayers. And they obviously could continue to use your prayers. So please do continue to pray for Scott and Mary as they figure out what's next for them, employment and all sorts of things. And yeah, let's continue to be a community that experiences God's forgiving grace and His love. All right, we're going to stand up. We're going to greet each other. We're going to extend His peace to each other with handshakes, smiles, hugs, whatever. Let's stand. Let's do this. All right. I hope everybody got one of those little welcome bulletins when you came in. If not, I see a few more back there. There are Bibles back there. That's where the offering box is if you're giving an offering today. And that's also, that little box is where you can drop these little welcome cards. So don't drop them like I just did. After you filled it out and then shared with us that you were here today and let us know how we can pray for you or thank God with you or you have questions about something, you want to get involved with something, just drop it in that offering box so that I can follow up with you this coming week. And Yeah, that's the way to communicate that. We have some pictures up front from the kids that do kids Bible quizzing on Wednesday nights. They just had a quiz down at Lafayette. They did great. And so we anytime they do this, we like to put the pictures up just so you can see their smiling faces holding their awards and ribbons and all that stuff. So they're studying Matthew's gospel this school year. And we, on the other hand, decided to read through Luke's gospel for this season of Lent. But ever since last fall, they've been making their way through Matthew's gospel, the stories of Jesus and what he taught, what he did. And pretty soon, they'll be getting to the stories of his death and resurrection that close out that gospel. So if you bump into any of those kids, make sure you congratulate them on a job well done at Lafayette yesterday. One thing that, let's see, what do I need to, mention a couple things. We're having an annual church meeting today in between the services. Every year we do this. You get a copy of the budget. You get to vote on who serves on the board next year. If you've gone to Living Hope 101 and committed to membership, then you get to vote in that little election. But anyone's welcome to stick around after this service to learn a little bit more about kind of where we are financially and with the mission of the church and all that stuff. And then after the 10:30 service, we're going to have a little lunch meeting. Living Hope 101 is an intro to the church, what we believe, what it means to commit to membership. We'll be done by 1:30 or 2. If you want to come today, I probably ordered enough pizza that you can have some. If you didn't let me know ahead of time, that's fine. Just grab me today before you go and say, hey, I think I'm going to come back for the Living Hope 101 thing so I can real quick print a couple more of the handouts for you. And we'd love to see you. We are collecting bras through the end of this month, and I wanted to get them out into the foyer and just show you the mountain of bras that are collecting back in the office. People keep dropping them in that basket, and we just keep chucking them in the office, and now there's this giant mound of bras back there. So in a couple of weeks, or in a week or so, we'll be hauling those all up to Chesterton, and if you want to join us sometime, they have packing parties up there where bras from all over the United States arrive at the warehouse in Chesterton, and you can pack them up for shipment around the world so that women who are escaping from sex slavery can sell them and have income. And there's more information about that out there. Grab a flyer, give it to a friend, explain why your church has something about bras on the sign up front. We're very grateful to Tom for bringing some of the flowers from Joan's funeral this last week. If you missed it last week, Joan Wozniczka has passed away. She is now present with her Savior, and her suffering here is done. And we're glad that that Tom is able to be with us this Sunday, and continue to pray for Tom, for Tom's comfort. Some of you have gone through this, of losing a spouse, and you know the grief that he's feeling after 47 years of marriage. But we're glad to have you as part of our church community. And as I mentioned to Tom this past week, we're going to be remembering Joan for quite some time, because every Christmas we pull out decorations that Joan selected and Joan has bought and put together and all of that. And many of the other seasons of the year, the little things on the middle of the tables and are ones that Joan picked out at some point. Those little cups that your pencils are in, I think, did Joan paint all those things? Man, she was talented. So anyway, just thank you, Tom, for sharing these flowers with us. And we're going to have a celebration of her life later on this spring for all of us in the church family that couldn't be a part of the small family celebration this last week. One other thing I just wanted to mention before we dive into the today's message is about prayer. We are, Monday to Friday, you can stop in here, 7:30 to 8:30 during the season of Lent leading us up to Easter on April 1st. And some of you have been coming and have told me just how helpful you have found that space and that time to just be quiet and to pray. We've got some little devotional guides that give you some scriptures to read and some prayers to pray if you want to use them. And then on Sunday mornings, we don't have like a kneeler thing up front. The churches I grew up on all had, they called it an altar, a little rail up front that you could come and pray and kneel at. And sometimes someone would come and pray with you. So we don't have that here. And so a couple of you were saying like, well, what if somebody wants to pray? What if it's communion time and someone's coming forward and they're grateful to God for his forgiveness, but they're still wrestling with something and they just want to kneel and to pray for a while? And we said, well, there's nothing going on in that corner right there. So if you want at any time in the service, in my mind, I'm thinking it would probably end up being near the end. If you wanted to pray, or if you need someone to pray with you, you're like, I am struggling with this. I need someone to pray for me, that God would give me guidance, or that God would help me to forgive myself, or that God would give me wisdom for this decision, or that God would heal me. Whatever it might be that you're struggling with, feel free to make your way up here to pray. And as the service concludes, people will be respectful. And if someone might walk up to you and say, what are we praying about? Can I pray for you? And if you want them to leave you alone, just, tell them to buzz off or whatever. politely, you know, just say, I'm okay, you know. But sometimes there's a real benefit in having somebody just, you know, being able to just express to someone, here's what I'm struggling with, would you pray for me? To hear someone else ask God on your behalf to be gracious, to be good, to be with you. So anyway, that's what that whole area up there is for. Feel free to take advantage of that if you'd like. I think that's about all the announcement things that I've got. So this morning we're continuing our walk through Luke, and I'm sitting here trying to decide. There's a part of me that wants to. I guess I'll just go ahead and just say thanks again, Scott. I thanked him privately, and when you know he approached me saying I'd like to explain this, and so just thank you for opening yourself up to your church family about what's going on in your life, and that is a struggle for all of us. That's a struggle that I share, the struggle to be open about about your failings in particular, about my failings, about my struggles. And if you can, not expecting any of the rest of you to like, this is not where we're going with the service today or anything, but there is healing that takes place when you're able to open up to a fellow believer and say, can I just share with you what I'm struggling with? You know, the devil's really getting a hold of me with this, or I keep tripping on the same thing or whatever, and to have someone pray with you and pray for you and to receive that grace through someone else. So I just thank you for modeling that for us today, Scott. We've been making our way through Luke, and last week I encouraged you during this season to be reading Luke's gospel. And I don't know if any of you have taken me up on that. It's not that long, and so it won't take you that long to read. We didn't put together a reading plan saying, please read this many verses a day to get through it by Easter. Frankly, if you sit down for 5 minutes every day between now and Easter Sunday, you're going to finish it before you hit Easter. So it's not that hard to read through Luke's gospel. You could read through it several times if you wanted to. But our messages are going to be kind of walking our way through Luke's gospel between last Sunday with Jesus' arrival on the scene, you know, the whole angels and the shepherds and that whole deal. We were talking last week about how Jesus came to the nobodies of society, those that other people had overlooked and pushed aside and thought, well, those people aren't worth our time. God says, well, they're worth my time. And when God shows up on the scene in his son Jesus Christ, he doesn't go to the powerful and the rich. He goes to the overlooked. He goes to Nazareth, the town on the wrong side of tracks, goes to a young woman named Mary, nothing particularly special about her that anyone else would have ever noticed, but God notices her humility and her willingness and works through Mary to bring Jesus into the world. And the first people he invites to come and to hold the newborn baby, well, I didn't say hold him. They at least look on him, breathe on him, you know, smile at him, are these shepherds, night shift shepherds. They don't even get the day shift. It's bad enough that they're shepherds in that society. That means they're poor, they don't have much, and they're looked down on. And these are the guys that do the short straw and have to work the night shift. And they are the ones that God says, I want you to know first about what I'm doing in the world. I want you to come and hold or come and see the newborn king, Jesus. So Jesus comes to those who are not powerful and rich and have it all together, the religious elite, the economic elite, the politically powerful. He comes to those who have nothing, really. And to those of us today who have nothing, he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I choose you. Other people may have pushed you aside. You might not have always been picked last for dodgeball as a kid or whatever, but I choose you. I'm coming to you. I want you to know that you are loved by God. And so what I put up at the top, as we were talking about it last Wednesday night, I realized, like, okay, this whole calling it, like, the gospel for the nobodies or something like that isn't quite getting at what I'm wanting to say to Jesus. When Jesus shows up, he's trying to help us know that nobody is a nobody, that society might have told you, or your mom might have told you, or some teacher, or some other kid growing up, or somebody along the way might have told you you're not worth anything, but you are worth so much to God. That he comes to you in Jesus Christ to offer you hope and life. Nobody is a nobody to Jesus. And all of us somebodies, Jesus shows up with words of warning and words of challenge to make sure we are not overlooking others in our lives, that we are not pushing others to the margin, because that's where God is going, and we don't want to be pushing Jesus away. We want to be following Jesus to the people that he loves. So as you continue reading through Luke's gospel, After Jesus shows up as a baby, his parents take him to Jerusalem, and we see a couple of elderly folks, Simeon, Anna, who recognize God leads them to this young family with the baby Jesus, and they are celebrating what God has done. We see a little episode when Jesus is 12 years old, and he ditches his parents, and they misplace him or somehow, and Jesus is spending time in the temple, and he's interacting with the religious leaders, and we see that he has insight into the things of God, even as a young child. He grows up pretty fast in the story. We don't have a lot of stories about Jesus as a kid. Next thing we know, he's an adult. He's getting baptized, and God is speaking from heaven, "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." He goes into the desert, and he's tempted by the devil. And then we get to the story that we're reading today, where as an adult, around 30 years old, Jesus is beginning to travel around the nation of Israel, primarily in the Galilee area, which, again, is not the capital area, down south with Jerusalem. And it'd be a little bit kind of like the size of Indiana, I think, you know, like not down to the capital, Indianapolis, but kind of up here in the northwest corner, where the air sometimes isn't as clean and you know, where people sometimes get overlooked. Jesus is going around the towns of Galilee preaching the good news that God loves them, that God is turning things right side up again. And he goes to Nazareth. And this is where we pick it up in Luke chapter 4, where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the part that Jesus selects to read as he has the opportunity to address the congregation that's gathered for worship that day. So then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, which didn't mean he went back to his seat. That meant he sat down up front, kind of in the teacher's spot. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I think today, as I'm reading this to you, it is happening right now. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's poured out, he's anointed me, he's poured out his Spirit on me to proclaim good news to, who was it again? The poor. To the poor, to the prisoners, to the blind, to the oppressed, he is coming saying, "Good news, God is with you. Good news, I'm setting you free. Good news, I'm restoring your sight. Good news, you no longer have to live under this oppression, that the Lord favors you." It's a kind of a powerful statement to make, to say that, you know, God is with him in this way, and people are kind of amazed, and then it kind of takes a turn, and he tells them a few verses later, "Truly I tell you," you've got this in your notes, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown," that's where Jesus is right now, his hometown. These are the people that saw him grow up, that knew him. In fact, they're kind of saying, "Isn't this Joseph's kid? You know, and he's saying God is with him to do this amazing stuff." He says, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years. There was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon." You might remember Elijah's story. We looked at it a month or so ago. And God had sent him to a widow. And they did that whole miracle where the oil and the flour never ran out and all of this. He's saying God could have sent Elijah to a widow in Israel, but no, he sent him to a widow outside of Israel, to an outsider. "And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian," another outsider. And Jesus seems to be saying, God is at work, but he isn't necessarily doing these amazing things for you, his people. And there are all kinds of reasons for that. You've rejected him, you're not paying attention to him. And so God is at work on the margins. God is at work among these outsiders that you have been pushing aside, and you've thought, oh, God doesn't care about them. Saying, well, if you know your history, if you know the story of how God's been at work, he continues to go to the outsiders. Which, that's not a very, you know, encouraging, uplifting message to share with your hometown congregation, you know? And so, of course, they respond like anyone would to a message that they didn't want to hear. They got up and they left. And they tried to kill him. But, you know, it's just like anybody would. You know, if I preach something you don't like, you're going to try to kill me, right? Isn't that how it works? They take Jesus out to a cliff, and they try to push him off the cliff, but he gets away as the story continues. So it's very clear right from the start, the very first message Jesus preaches, Like God has sent me to the outsiders. God has sent me to those that others are overlooking, to those who've been oppressed, to those who are blind, to those who are poor, to those who are prisoners. These are the people that God is sending me to make sure they know that God loves them and God is with them. And that this might